Okay, my friends and perpetual progress pursuers, we have now made arrival to the fifth chapter of my Aim Upon Me to Prosper in the 21st Century, Perpetual Profits from Phenomenal Sales Tactics, 21st Century Blueprint for Selling Yourself to Millions Audio Training Program. Again, my friends, yes, this is Chapter 5, and it is titled Presenting and Selling Your Own Products. Okay, my friends and perpetual progress pursuers, almost all customers would agree in saying that the product's presentation has a lot to do with their reasons for making the purchase. They like a product that is very presentable, both and in its overall appearance and its packaging. Therefore, no matter how good your product is, if it is not appealing to the eyeball, baby, it is not going to have any market appeal, baby, for real, though. See, appealing to your customer's aesthetic preferences up in this piece. Appeal to your customer's aesthetic preferences up in this piece, I should say. See, a lot of companies are investing so much just to improve their product design. And most of the time, a simple change in the packaging layout will translate to millions of sales. Good enough is not enough. See, always settle for the best possible product appearance and packaging. Now, my friends, here are the four basic principles of how your overall product presentation should look. Number one, it should be attention-grabbing. Number two, it should be crafted to build the customer's interest in the product. Number three, it should arouse the customer's desire to own the product. Number four, it should be enough to goad the customers to action. Now, when it comes to presentation, your main point of interest is what pleases the eye, while it is to the general concept of beauty. Always stick to the conventional assumption of beauty, and you would never go wrong. Now, my friends, I will now divulge how to attract your customer's attention. Pay attention. Let's go. Listen, every product has a benefit. A benefit is anything your product can give to your customers. See, this is something you put up front so that the people begin buying from who? You. See, to attract your customers' attention, you have to create a good selling point for each and every benefit your product has to give. See, all of those should be emanating out from your product and your packaging, with or without the use of actual words. Again, as the way this goes, a picture is worth a thousand words, baby. Okay? Listen. An example of a product's benefit is portability. One selling point of this particular product feature is to use the user, rather, rechargeable batteries, which enables your customers to bring the product or device wherever they go. And aside from directly stating that your product is portable, you can choose to manufacture your product in a compact design to choose a slim packaging, so the buyers will see that your item can be enjoyed whenever and wherever. Now, if one glance at your product would show that it is lightweight, condensed, and has a rugged construction fit for outdoor use, you have succeeded in attracting your customer's attention. Now, if in case you are a salesperson, a marketer, or entrepreneur who only markets products that come from your manufacturers and you do not have any influence as to its manufacturing design or packaging, you have to do some physical evaluation of your product before selling them. When possible, get your product and put it side by side along its competitors. Then answer the following questions. Number one, how is your product different? What is your product's point of differentiation? Number two, what are the benefits your products have that the others don't? What is it exactly that makes your product distinct? Number three, when it comes to physical design, what is it exactly that the product manufacturers emphasize? Number four, what is stated in the packaging specifically that makes this product marketable? And my friends, after answering these questions, you should have a good idea as to how you should present your product in the market. If you have to make your own leaflets to give away to customers, then you can put all the primary selling points of your product, from the most salient ones down to the minor ones. This way, you are effectively presenting your product in the market. Product manufacturers usually perform a comprehensive market research before they actually design and construct the product. Usually, the results of these researches are imparted to the marketing leaders, with the intention that they are passed on to every salesperson they have in force. They want these selling points to be promoted to the customers. It all depends upon you and the salesperson, to put the product's innate selling points out in the limelight. Remember, to stress out the benefits, and it protects against all impurities and more compact, etc. More than the features made of durable plastic, removable filter, etc. Let me say that again. Remember, to stress out the benefits. Case in point, Example, protects against all impurities, more compact, etc. More than the features, like made of a durable plastic, removable filter, etc. Now, how to build your customer's interest up in this piece. How to build your customer's interest up in this piece. Listen. My friends, to keep excitement in the air, you have to keep your customers guessing. Your promotional material should leave customers with an atmosphere of interest enough to make them ask for more. Give them something they haven't heard of before, and surely they would give your product a second look. This is all you need to fully launch that well-prepared and well-thought-of speech you have prepared. Interest is something you want to trigger in your customers or clients. Interest can do wonders. It could create a buzz about your product. It can entice more customers to check out what it is you're selling. Most importantly, it can make your customers buy. If only to check out if what they heard about the product is true. If you can keep your customers' interest brewing, then you are on the correct track. And you just have to make sure that you can follow it up with the right sales talk and the right promotional attack. Let me say it again. If you can keep your customers' interest brewing, then you are on the correct track. You just have to make sure that you follow it up with the right sales talk and the right promotional attack. Otherwise, the work you did to generate interest will just go into waste. Don't do it. Listen, next up, how to arouse your customer's desire. Okay, listen. More often than not, desire is aroused by what? Beauty, appeal, and of course, attractiveness. Functionality and features usually come second. So in essence, you work to stimulate your customer's desire first through the physical attributes of your products. Its features and capabilities come second. This may look too easy, but aesthetics is not a simple science. Aesthetics is rather vague and is very general. The old adage still holds true. Beauty depends on the person who appreciates it. Again, beauty depends on a person who appreciates it. You have to keep in mind who your customers or clients are and what their preferences may happen to be before you can appeal to their senses. This means you must have a psychological profile of your clients and your customers. This is especially hard if you do not have any control over your product's aesthetic abilities and you are just selling it. Again, this is especially hard to do if you do not have any control over your product's aesthetics, abilities, and you are just the one selling it. But we can get to that later. First, here are the different channels of attraction and how you can use them to present your product to arouse your customer's desire to purchase. First up, vision. The first step is to appeal to the eyes of your prospective client. Customers want a product that looks good visually. Again, this is why companies are interested in correction. This is why companies are investing so much in remodeling and repackaging their products just to look new and trendy. Never mind the features. They can improve on that later or maybe never. Some companies just opt to create an entirely different model of the product instead of adding good features to it. Repackaging is always costly, but a lot do it anyway. Next up, hearing. If there's any music or sounds associated with your product and it is very engaging, capitalize on it. Let the music arouse desire. Music and sounds have the innate ability to do exactly that. There might be times that you went walking in a mall and you heard your favorite song play somewhere. Do you remember how you stopped and just listened? You might have even walked right into the store just to enjoy the music. See, music can relay a message of your product. Music uses the power of words and the melody of a good tune. That's why songs and jingles are always created and used in television and radio commercials. People love to hear a good harmony, and that's one reason why the music industry is always flourishing. Next up, the sense of smell, aroma, fragrance. What is your first reaction when you're walking in a busy street and somebody with your favorite cologne or perfume walk right past you? You intend to look at the direction of the person, no matter how far away he or she may be. You might even search for his or her face in the crowd. Some people would even stop and savor the scent. Whichever your reaction is, the point is clearly stated. You simply cannot resist the allure of a good smell, a great fragrance. Whether it is the smell of somebody's cooking or the fragrance of your favorite perfume, you tend to turn your head even without meaning to. And that is the effect of something you would like to achieve for your products. Next up, the sense of taste. This one is for products that have something to do with eating or ingesting. It could be food products, drinks, or even medicines. If it has to go through the mouth, you have to make sure it tastes good. And yes, that goes true even for medicines. This is something basic. You won't sell a chocolate bar that doesn't taste sweet, right? Therefore, if you have to sell food, you have to make sure eating it will become your taste buds enjoyment. See, people like to try something new every now and then. Most of them are tired with the usual taste of the food they eat. This is the reason why companies are coming out with an orange, cherry, or apple flavors for their products. You don't want to eat plain Jell-O every morning for the rest of your life, do you? Of course not, right? Or wheat grain cereals or plain fruit jellies. People like flavor, variety, variance in their life. So benefit from that. Next up, the sense of touch. The sense of touch is almost as important as a sense of sight. Your product, more often than not, can surely be touched, be felt, and be experienced by your customers. Touch applies to almost everything. Shoes, clothes, equipments, furniture, appliances, and vehicles. And the list goes on. And how it should feel will depend entirely as to what product you are selling. If you have furniture, a smooth and sleek design is an advantage. But if you are selling sports equipment, the handles have to be ribbed for better handling. It also has to be light and durable, especially if it's something like a tennis racket. It's a different story, though, if what you are selling is a golf club. The idea here is very simple. Make sure that your product brings comfort, even if it is used for an entirely different purpose. These are the ways on how you can appeal to your customer senses. But what if you are still considered as a low-level salesperson and you do not have any control of the product's aesthetic abilities? Well then, since you can't be changing your products, change the way you present the products. Answer the following questions. Number one, what are the primary selling points of this product? Number two, of them all, which do you think is the most significant? Number three, how can you promote this particular selling point? Number four, what senses are you going to use to endorse the product best? Number five, can you combine two or more senses together to achieve optimum results? Number six, are you creative enough to appeal to all of a person's senses? See, your choice of approach, of endorsement, or of advertisement is going to count a lot. So therefore, it's important that you use what? The correct one. Better yet, be imaginative enough to create your very own. Make your own market plan. Make your own core goal, which is to move units. Hello. Next up, how to goad your customers into action. How to goad your customers into action. Okay. Now, this is the meat of the matter. When we are talking about action, we mean buying. I mean, hey, pulling out, hey, listen, pulling out the cash, the cold hard cash, hey, the credit card, debit card. Hey, you still get people get checks, but you want to write checks, whatever. Listen, show me the money. Ooh, for real. Listen, and buying is the main goal of every sales deal. It is what every salesperson aims to get. The million-dollar question comes into surface. Now, after going through the steps listed within this book, within this audio program, you should have learned about product presentation, quality, appeal, customers' objections, and the salesman's qualities. All these are taught with only one intention, that you successfully get into your customers' heads and goad them into what? Action. Making that purchase. Listen. Now listen, selling is a very psychological thing. A good product won't necessarily sell without an equally good salesperson behind it. Try it to push it. Now let's do some role playing. Get your products on the front line and act not as an enthusiastic salesperson, but as an indifferent vendor. Act like somebody who gets paid by the hour without commissions. That means you will get your salary after working hours no matter how few or how many items you have sold. See if you are going to achieve your day's goal. Now, act like a very aggressive salesperson and take what you think is your worst product. Maybe for research. You can even select a brand or a commodity that you think is a big junk. It's a big load of junk. Sell it passionately, following everything taught in this report. See if you have sold more products acting like this compared to when you are acting like the uninterested salesperson. This is the first point you have to know. Selling is not entirely about your product. Your product won't sell on its own. That is the very reason why your boss hired you in the first place. He knows it. You should know it as well. Or once again, if you're an entrepreneur or marketer up in this piece, it's your product up in your company. Your job as a marketer or entrepreneur up in this piece, my guys, is to make sure that you are able to effectively and eloquently articulate the reasons why this person needs your product. Understand that. So again, be reminded of this one thing: before you can sell anything, you have to sell yourself first. You have to be fully convinced that, my God, the product you bring to the market, my God, is worth, my God, you've been endorsing. And like I told you, my God, before, in order for you to be able to sell, my God, to your prospective client base or target market effectively, you must actually know what their needs and wants in their situation is. You must be able to effectively, my God, empathize with them and be able to provide them with a solution, my God, that meets their need. You understand that? So this is why you are taught the qualities of a good salesperson, an entrepreneur or marketer earlier. Okay? The moment you speak to your customer about your product is the moment your customer may be doing his or her best trying to trust you. If he finds that very hard to do, homie, you in big trouble, bub. Again, people will only buy from people that they like, know, and trust. The second point, not all customers buy impulsively. You might be lucky to meet more than one compulsive customer in a day. So don't gripe if the customer lets you talk for 5 hours. 5 whole hours on your lead of store without making a single purchase. This happens. And it does quite often, actually. So you have to know your plan of attack each time you face your customer. If he or she is a new customer, don't come on too strong. Again, customers do not like to be pushed around and feel ensnared. The third point. Keep your customer interested. Getting your customer's attention is not enough. You have to keep the water flowing, so to speak. You have to capture their interest and sustain it, but do it in such a way that doesn't look as though you are going to some extreme heights just to sell them. Customers know when you are making conversation and when you are making a sales pitch for them to buy. It is your job to keep them interested, and when their interest is at its peak, move in to close the deal. That should be the time when they are more than willing to take out their wallets right then and make the purchase. And the last and primary point, let me tell you something. Let your customer know your intentions. Make it clear up in this place to them that you wanted them to buy your product, get an insurance plan, to sign up for a loan, to purchase a warranty card, or anything else you might want them to do. Now, calling them to action is not enough. They have to know what the real action is, what they are supposed to do. So you must be very explicit in your communications with your customers or clients and be prepared to do exactly that. Don't be too engrossed in your sales pitch that you are forgetting the little details, like the customer has to have several identification cards to go with the purchase or other trivial things like that. Assess your customer while you are talking to them. Determine what they need to do and make them have a desire or want to do it. Now, that is the best entrepreneur, the best marketer, the best salesperson in action. Now, let me tell you something. To guide you further in your selling, here are 4 almost magical selling techniques that you can use to your distinct advantage. Number 1, the reciprocity technique. Capitalize on people's tendency to reciprocate good thoughts and efforts. Whenever you give or do something nice to others, people are always obligated to return the exact same favor. As a seller gives your customers holiday and greeting cards during special occasions, they will appreciate it and will buy again from you in the future. The same principle applies when you give samples or trial offers. They might buy your product just for the sake of reciprocity. Number 2, the contrast technique. Many people in today's world shop with a budget in mind. With the current economy, it doesn't pay to be a spendthrift. To overcome this obstacle in case your product has a higher price, show your prospective customers the super value that they get from your product in a contrast to your competitors, which could be priced lower. Let them realize and feel the tremendous quality that you're getting in exchange for a few dollars more. Number 3, the herd effect. Correction, the herd technique, rather. Most people like to belong to a group. They want to do what the rest of humankind is doing. So, they feel a sense of belonging. In restaurants, they may apply this principle by giving free food and large discounts to their customers. If people see that there are many people inside a diner, they wouldn't hesitate to go inside themselves. The same is true with discos and bars. Long lines are an indication that people enjoy going and hanging out at that place. Number 4, the consistency technique. Try to find out what your customers' preferences are. ask them if they value quality over price. If they say yes, that's your cue to ask them if they're willing to buy your product if it has a lot more useful features than others. People like to be consistent with their values and beliefs, and to stay consistent, they are most likely going to buy your product to prove that they indeed value quality over price. Now, use these selling techniques and you will surely get your customer buying with lesser efforts and skill required.